wonderful, majestic world around us, it's time for Dear Science. Thanks to MOTAT, the museum inspiring the innovators of tomorrow.
Kia ora, Joel.
Kia ora.
How are we going?
Yeah.
Oh, man, we are honored to be back in this seat for 2 weeks in a row.
2 weeks in a row, 2 weeks running. Shout out to Ellen, who has the flu. Poor Ellen.
Poor Ellen.
We wish you well.
This one's for you, Ellen.
This one goes out to Ellen. And what are we doing with the science this week?
Oh, man, there's been a lot of science happening, if you can believe it.
So much science?
Really?
A lot of science. So much so that I feel compelled to talk to you about it today.
Amazing. I see that you've sent me something through, which is so exciting. Asteroids.
Yeah, asteroids, and not like the video game from the 70s.
Oh, man. Okay, well, that's my illusion shattered.
Have you actually ever played that game?
I have, actually.
Oh, man, you're cool.
I'm that cool, guys.
I don't think I've even ever played it, to be honest.
No, it's really fun. It's a bit glitchy.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we found the key to life.
Well, let's slow down a little bit. But a Japanese team recently sent a rover to an asteroid, and they came back with samples and analyzed it here on Earth.
Nice.
This is the first time anyone's done that. We've sent things to asteroids. We've sent things to comets. We've sent things to Mars. But it always just stays there.
Yeah.
And we analyze it there. So there's obviously limitations with that. If we bring it back, we can have a much higher technical suite of instruments to look at it.
Right. So they brought it back to Earth.
So they brought it back to Earth, and they found uracil, which is one of the nucleobases of RNA.
You are kidding me.
Oh, I speak the truth.
Oh, my gosh. So RNA...
RNA. So, you know, DNA is the building block of life. They have thymine, adenine, cytosine, and guanine. Those are the four nucleobases.
I remember from year 12 chemistry.
Oh, wow.
GCAT.
It's bringing back memories.
So, DNA is the double helix, whereas RNA is just the single one. And instead of thymine, they have uracil. So what this Japanese team found is uracil in the sample from this asteroid.
Wow.
Which means a lot of things.
What does it mean?
It means that potentially asteroids or comets could have been what brought the elements to create life to Earth. Because there's a lot of... Well, questions, how did life begin, right?
Yeah.
Did it begin here on Earth? Did it begin somewhere else and then come to Earth? So there's a lot of questions involved. And so what this team did is they the first ones to conclusively say that we can do this chemistry, or this chemistry has happened long, long ago before we've ever been created. And it has already pre-existed, perhaps even before Earth.
Wow. That's just absolutely stunning. So it's got the precursor to RNA.
Yes, one of them.
Amazing. So that would explain a lot of the asteroid hits we took over the millions of years.
There have been a lot of asteroid hits, especially in the late bombardment area in early Earth development, if you recall that.
That's beautiful. The bombardment era. Sorry, guys, I'm in my bombardment area.
But what makes this cool is because they have actually found these types of molecules in like meteorites and things that come down to Earth.
Right.
But there's always that risk of contamination because once you come into Earth, there's DNA, there's these molecules everywhere. So we don't know if it actually originated from an asteroid or if it just picked it up here on Earth. And similarly, when you try to make these measurements like on Mars or something, you can get signals for these organics, but you don't know for sure if that's from contamination or if it's actually part of the celestial being itself. So this is big news because they brought it back here to Earth.
They brought it back.
And were able to do these tests. And the way that they actually analyzed it left open the possibility that there could have actually been bigger molecules rather than just this cytosine. There could have been a chain or a connection or some early primordial RNA type structure. So that's something that they're going to look into further.
Wow. So we finally got an answer to what does it all mean?
I think we have more questions, to be honest.
Oh, man. And from meaningful to meaningless.
How dare you?
Oh, I love this one. Gorillas spin themselves around to get high.
Yes, yeah, so we were talking about high in the sky, and now we're talking about...
high.
Oh, that was a good one. I should have done that.
In your brain. So... call back to a previous episode where we were talking about Cocaine Bear.
Yes.
And then running down a list of animals that like to do drugs.
Animals on Drugs Special.
Check it out if you haven't already. I never did see that movie, but...
Me neither. I never got around to it.
But we have the episode of Dear Science, and that's really what you need anyway.
Oh, honestly, better media. So why do they do this? What are they doing?
That is a really good question. So we have, it's not just gorillas, but also things like bonobos and chimpanzees will spin themselves to the point where they're visibly dizzy, which the scientists believe and published in the journal Primate that it's to get a higher state of consciousness or altered sense of state of consciousness, I should say.
Interesting.
That's bloody amazing, to be honest. So they'll spin and spin and spin, and then they're dizzy, but according to this journal, higher state of consciousness.
Well, altered state.
Altered.
Altered.
Not necessarily high.
I think they're just bored.
Maybe.
It could be it. But seeing this kind of behavior in, I guess, other types of species, especially those similar to humans, could say something about humans' natural inclination to get messed up.
Get messed up. That is so interesting. So it'd be interesting to see if the primates studied were in captivity or not.
So most of them were in captivity. So there are some beliefs that they... could be just that they're bored and they wanted to do something to spice things up. But they're currently looking to find this outside of captivity as well to see if that behavior is consistent.
Would be interesting. So from big monkeys to little mice.
To little mice.
Little mice.
There's the transition we were looking for.
Yeah, exactly.
What are they doing? So we'll spin to the next topic
we'll
here.
We'll spin off.
But we'll keep our state of consciousness
intact.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk about mice, and this. So we were talking about the beginnings of life in the first topic. Now we're talking about creating life from two male mice. So for the first time ever.
That's crazy.
This is another big discovery where they were actually able to take the cells from a male mice, combine it with another male mouse, and they're able to create more mice.
What? Okay. All right. That is crazy. How did they do it in a lab?
Straight science, homie.
We love science.
So here's the details. All right, you ready for this?
Yeah. I want the dates.
I think I'm ready.
You think you're ready?
Yeah.
Prepare yourself.
So they took a male mouse, XY chromosome, right?
Mm-hmm.
They took a special stem cell from like its tail.
Oh.
Okay, so stem cell is something that you might be able to create other types of cells out of it because it's almost like a blank canvas when thinking about cells. So they took that, they gave it some certain drugs to make it, basically got rid of the Y chromosome, and then they doubled the X. So it went from XY to XX.
Oh.
Right, which is female.
Correct.
So they changed the chromosomes of one of the mice.
That's exactly what they did. And then they combined it with the male, and then to actually have the mice, they had to insert it into a female to actually gestate the mice themselves. And it was a really low percentage. Like, they tried 630 different times, and they only got 7 of them to work.
Nice.
But the fact that they were able to do it is pretty amazing. And these 7 mice were completely normal, able to procreate in the normal fashion in their own right. So it's an interesting step forward.
That is absolutely crazy. I love that. Imagine spending all that time doing, what was it, 700 mice?
638.
Yeah. 638, and then you just end up with 7, and you're like, yep, that's a win.
Oh, it's a massive win. Anything more than one. Or just one is a win, right?
One is a win.
One's enough.
So you 7 times you won.
It's got to be able to be replicated, though.
Well, 7 times.
7 times. Look at them go. Well, that is truly, truly fascinating.
So some of the implications here could be that you might be able to treat certain diseases like Down syndrome, where someone has an extra chromosome, or in the future, if you have potential like same-sex couples, might be able to procreate in a weird scientific way.
Amazing.
I love that. We love science.
Science is cool.
I agree.
Well, thank you so much, Joel, for your enlightening, enlightening topics. And thank you, Motat.
Thanks, Motat.
Thanks, Motat. You're great.
We love you.
Well, I didn't know that before. Dear Science, thanks to Motat, the museum inspiring the innovators of tomorrow.